Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Bills game day. Happy Thursday. This is a beautiful day out here in our Amherst studios. Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans tonight, 8:15. It is Thursday Night Football, so if you're not in the Buffalo TV market, it is on Amazon Prime. If you are, though, in the Buffalo TV market, it's on Channel 7. Inactives come out at around 6:45. We got a little while here. We got a little bit. It's 10 in the morning. Pace yourselves. And we'll get there. We'll all get there together. Zach Jones here with you now on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I believe this game is still a 6-point spread in favor of the Bills. We do know Davis Mills is going to start at quarterback for the Houston Texans. Also out for the Houston Texans, Jalen Petrie and backup linebacker Jamal Hill. While for the Bills, Mecole Hardman, Dalton Kincaid, Curtis Samuel are all out, while Fedarian Mathis is questionable. Everyone else should be good to go. However, the big report from yesterday, courtesy of Cover One, is that Keon Coleman looks to be inactive for the second straight game, and it's both surprising and unsurprising. On Sunday, it was because he was late a second time this season to a meeting. Many of us also thought it could have been, in some ways, performance, but the reason given was that he was late. Now this week, if it is 2 weeks in a row, two games in a row, what does that tell us about where the Bills sit with Keon Coleman? It certainly doesn't tell us anything good. But there are ways to look at this and go, it's not the most damning thing ever to happen to him, right? There's a good chance that it's a short week. We're just going to go in with, you know, as much of a game plan as we can, get through the week, hopefully with a win, and move on. Keon will be back in the lineup when they play Pittsburgh. And I think that's probably the most likely option, is that it's a short week and they're going to roll with what they've got. It is somewhat surprising based on the injuries that they do have. It's at two wide receivers. However, neither of them is what Keon Coleman is. Really, you bring up Brandon Codrington, who they signed to the practice squad, and Elijah Moore, and then elevate Gabe Davis again, and you're good. You've got that all figured out. But it is something. It is something. I think in part it is also maturity, but also Keon Coleman has not earned his right, really, his spot on the starting offense. He is not a guy that, unless it is truly something awful where, dude, yeah, we got to suspend you for a game, he's going to be playing. He has not earned that yet. And he may never earn that. I know there are a lot of people that are on social media going, it's only year two, why are they giving up on him so fast? We don't know if they're fully giving up on him. I will say, if you're asking me, I think this is about done. I think by the end of the year, we're all going to kind of have the same understanding of he won't be here next year, whether you agree with it or not in the decision-making sense. But that's just my opinion. I have no sources on this. Just this is where I'm at with it. And I think it's both the maturity and then also everything on the field. But we will see. I think what really may hurt Keon, though, is if they go in tonight against a great defense, albeit down a guy like Jalen Petrie, who is a very, very good safety. But ultimately, this is an incredible defense, not just made up of one guy, but multiple, and a great coaching staff. If the Bills' offense goes into tonight and does do what I've heard many of you want them to do, which is light them up,
They keep throwing the ball, and Tyrell Shavers looks great, and Elijah Moore takes up Curtis Samuel's role or Mecole Hardman's role, and he's awesome. If that is the case, and it's two straight games without Keon Coleman, I think at that point, we're about done. And I think most of us would agree with it at that point, is, okay, he's not needed then. And that will suck for his young career. It's not good. It's, you're rooting for it. But really, since he's been drafted, have any of us really thought he'd fit the role? I mean, when he came in, the whole thing about him was he's a big slot guy. And then the moment Brandon Bean and his staff sat down with the media, they talked about him being an X receiver. It was never really what most expected him to be coming into the NFL, and yet it's what the Bills have tried to make him be. Maybe there is a talented receiver in there as a big slot. I don't know. But I'm kind of at this point, I sort of know it won't work for the Bills. And I'm okay if they move on. There's a reason why they were involved in trade talks with a number of wide receivers, big name wide receivers as well. Jalen Waddle, Brian Thomas Jr., I know has gotten a little bit of run here as well. It wasn't just guys like Rashid Shaheed. They may not say it out loud, but the Bills are telling you how they feel about the wide receiver room. It's not enough. They screwed up. It doesn't make it better. It does not make it easier to swallow. But I'd rather an organization admit their faults in what they do rather than ignore it and keep trying to force a round peg into a square hole. But here we are. The Bills are taking on the Houston Texans tonight, 803-0550, the number to call. Vibe checks for tonight. I know I'm going into this game very much in the sense of just win. It's a tough defense on a short week, and you're on the road. Just get a win. We'll see what happens. But I think where the Bills are at and the team they're playing, they should get a win. But we've said that multiple times this year, against Miami and against Atlanta specifically. And I wouldn't even necessarily say like Miami's defense was this great unit and the Bills scored 13 against them. They look lost that entire game. Atlanta has looked like a tire fire since beating the Bills. But against the Bills, they look like an ascending team in the NFC. And Houston has won two straight games with their backup quarterback, albeit against teams like Jacksonville and Tennessee, but still, they have done that. They are starting to stack wins. I mentioned it yesterday. I thought the Bills could go on a run. I agree with Jeremy White. I think if they get past this game against this defense in this situation, I think they can go on a run here and maybe outright run the table. Maybe. But they've got to get through tonight. And it's in a building they have not won in since 2006, which feels incredible to me, if I'm being completely honest. Feels absolutely incredible that they have not done it. But as we all pointed out earlier this week, it is a house of horrors in the AFC South for the Bills. They have a really tough time with this division. For whatever reason, they have a really, really hard time. And they tend to drop these games against a division that most of us agree is a bad division. They seem to have a really tough time. But we're late enough in the season. There is no more working out the kinks or anything like that. This is the team they've got, and you're playing a backup quarterback. Get after it.
There's no excuse.
There's no excuse. And you know what? And I haven't even brought this up yet either. This isn't even a team that runs the ball particularly well. So it's not even like they have a backup quarterback. Oh, but they've got Bijan Robinson, and they're like the fifth best rushing offense in the sport. They're not particularly good at it. I was on Houston radio yesterday, 610 The Loop. We had John Harris on yesterday as well. And everyone kind of made the same point of, yeah, an okay Houston rushing attack has to find its form. And I look, maybe the Bills' rush defense is exactly what they need. But also, I mean, Sal's brought it up. John Harris brought it up yesterday with us. They've also had Davis Mills throw the ball a lot.
They
and,
have.
And I think that's the Bills' strength is their pass defense right now.
Well, he discovered Nico Collins was on the team, something C.J. Stroud basically struggled with for the entire first half of the season. But
what is it, the last four straight games, Collins is over 10 targets?
Yes. Yeah. The one thing I look at when I just think about this is I'm not really that nervous about it. I think the Bills' offense is going to be able to put up some points because Denver was able to attack the secondary.
They were.
And, like, Yeah.
And I think Bo Nix might be bad. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, I think you have a shot there. But also, what have you been able to do the past few weeks? Since Drake London, no wide receiver one has killed you.
No.
Egbuka did nothing last week for the Bucs.
It really
Jalen Waddle got one catch.
Yeah, it really is the run defense.
Yeah.
That's their problem. And I think when you look at Houston, they're just not a team, I think, that is capable of doing that. An argument is fair that Sean Tucker's a third-string running back, and he popped off on you.
Tampa actually has a running, like a good offensive line.
They have a good offensive line, right? And like that's the thing is like they're just able to run the ball very well. I just, for me, there is something so demoralizing if you lose to this backup core. And maybe that's the biggest thing for me is I think they could go on a run if they win tonight. If they lose tonight, though,
it's over.
The backup quarterback, I don't want to say it's over, right? I mean,
that was what everyone was saying after Miami, right. So it's like crazy.
They'll make the playoffs, like, and that's the thing. They'll make the playoffs. But what's over for Bills fans, it's the idea of the Super Bowl. I have a real tough time buying into this team being a Super Bowl contender if in the middle, you know, in the second half of the year, they lose to a backup quarterback, albeit on the road on a short week. I get it. And Davis Mills is not bad by any means. Again, I mentioned yesterday, I really liked him when he was first coming into the league. I'm just, you got to get this win. You got to start stacking them. Start stacking really good performances. You thought it was coming after the Chiefs game, really after Carolina, the bye. You know, you win by 31 there, then you take on the Chiefs. I still think it's their best overall win they've had this year. And then you just laid this massive egg against Miami that still is probably the most demoralizing loss of the year, you know, regardless of New England beating you and the three turnovers, Atlanta even. You know, Miami is a team you dominated for the last 5 years. You've just absolutely run them over anytime you play them. And only recently have some of the games even gotten close. You know,
that one was bad.
That one was bad, and it was a blowout. You were never really in the contest.
Well, it also was the game changer, though. Yeah. Brady made some big adjustments schematically, right? Like Keon Coleman, I know that wasn't performance-based necessarily, and you were talking about that to start, but I think now it might be after the way they played last week without him.
I'm so curious how this whole thing goes with Coleman. We don't know officially. It's a report from Cover One from last night. We'll see if that's how this is played out. I think there's a good chance, though, it's a short week and just –
we're going to run with what we had last
time. Last time it worked. You know, if it weren't for Curtis Samuel and Mecole Hardman being injured, we'd be running the same lineup. But also, to that point, Keon doesn't really fit those receiver types at all. Like, he's not going to be on kickoff team with Mecole Hardman. Elijah Moore fills the Curtis Samuel role. Like, he's not really, quote-unquote, needed. And like I mentioned, too, his performance is not forcing you to keep him in. It's just not. And then when I see Tyrell Shavers go out there and immediately get good separation and play a big role in the offense, seemingly already have that connection with Allen, I can see where it comes, where all of a sudden, yeah, he's not really needed right now. We are hitting on all cylinders. They've got to keep this going, though. They've got to keep this going. I would love if Houston wants to keep throwing the ball, though. If that's where they want to go and they're going to lean away from the run game, I think this is over already. That's where I'd love them to be. I don't want Houston to run the ball and maybe find something here. I also, though, as I mentioned yesterday, don't really want the Bills to have the same game plan they had against Tampa Bay. I don't think that works against this particular defense, even with guys like Jalen Petrie being out. Houston's defense is a buzzsaw. And the idea of long passing concepts and deep dropbacks and allowing guys like Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter to try and feast on Allen, who has not been particularly good against the blitz this year, I think that is a tough road to go. It might be more exciting, right? It's definitely more fun to watch, and I'm with most people when they say, I'll take 6 touchdowns and 2 picks. I'll have no issue there. You're not going to get that performance every single time. Tampa's not a particularly strong defense, and they're also injured. You were able to finally take advantage of a secondary that is allowing guys to get open, passing games to flourish. Houston is not that. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have Sal Capaccio coming up at 11 o'clock from Houston. Get a little bit of last-minute details on today as we get ready for kickoff at 8:15. We'll have inactives at around 6:45 during Showman the Bulldog. They'll have you for pregame, but we'll go to the phones now to get ready for today. Vibe check, where are you feeling on tonight? And also, thoughts on potentially Keon Coleman being inactive for a second straight day. We go to the phones now. Joe is with us first up here. Joe, how are we doing, man?
Hello?
Yep, Joe, you're on the air. How are we doing?
Hey, how's it going? I just a quick little statement here. I want to preface this with I was never really a fan of Keon Coleman coming out of the draft, but I want to make a comparison between him and Quentin Johnston from the Chargers. As we know, his first couple years were terrible. I mean, he couldn't catch the ball, wasn't getting open. Do we think that there's a trajectory where Keon Coleman can break out in that next year coming up? Do we think it's a scheme issue? What can we do to help him? And I just want to kind of compare those two players, if you can look at the stats from Johnson, and see if it's a possibility that Keon can take a step forward.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for the call. I think that's a really good comparison because Quentin Johnston was a guy who his rookie year was awful. You're right. I mean, his whole thing was he cannot catch the ball. He looked lost at times out of there. And then it didn't help either. He comes from TCU, and a lot of people, I think, thought of him as he's flourishing against Big 12 competition. He doesn't really have that NFL receiver vibe to him. So it was a bad rookie year. I will say, though, and this is where it hurts Keon, Johnston does have a better second season. Goes from 67 targets to 91, 38 catches to 55. His yards go up. His touchdowns aggressively go up from 2 his rookie year to 8 in his sophomore campaign. Even his catch percentage goes up from 56% to 60%. He was much better in his second year than he was in his rookie year. This year is a little shaky. It kind of is like a mixture of the two. The touchdowns are still very high. He's probably going to surpass the yardage as we go here. So we still got a number of games left. He's at 502 now. He had 711 last year. There was some development. He was getting somewhat better. He just maybe wasn't showing out to be a first-round pick like he was. But there was a steady increase for him. The problem that Coleman is now running into, and Sneaky Joe brought up a good name for this, is Jonathan Mingo. It's not getting better in year two. If there's really no progression, what's the point here? And I know a lot of Bills fans are going to bring up guys like Eric Moulds. That's fine. That's a near Hall of Fame level receiver. Have you seen anything from Keon Coleman up to this point? In a Super Bowl window, and I think that's important here, to point to, yeah, we should keep waiting on Keon Coleman until he is officially, to like 95% of the fan base, a bust. I think that's waiting too long. I feel the same way about letting go of players. New England creates a dynasty off of moving off of players maybe a year early. So if they flourish for 15 minutes at a new location and then fall off a cliff. They are in a Super Bowl window now. They are not in the business of waiting for guys to develop. And maybe that's not fair. And it's probably not. Because for every disaster, you look at Keon Coleman or Kyrie Elam, you have someone that flourishes, Cole Bishop, where the light just turns on. Don't really know what it is. You can point to a few different things, but the light turns on and all of a sudden, boom, you've got a great NFL player. But then you also have situations where, for the Bills, Kyrie Elam. I know many people saw it kind of in maybe the same vein with Coleman. He's not in the right spot. He should be a big slot, not an X receiver. They're putting him in the wrong spot. For Kyrie Elam, it was, he played man coverage predominantly at Florida. You're bringing him in on his own system. You're asking him to learn something he's not particularly good at. Well, he goes to Dallas, and he's one of the worst man coverage corners in the sport. Maybe that's due to the development he had in Buffalo. I wouldn't disagree with that all that much. But his second spot has not helped him at all. He's on one of the worst pass defenses in the game. Coleman, though, if he finds a new home, if it really is done here in Buffalo after this season, maybe he flourishes as a big slot guy. I'm fine taking that risk. At this point, I am fine taking this risk.
You saw more flash from him last season.
I agree. There was a few games last year where
The Texans game.
Well, the Texans game, Seattle's the game for me.
The big one where he missed that catch on the first one, good coverage, and then he mosses him on the second one. Like, you're not even seeing him attempt. Week one is the only thing you can point at here and be like, okay. And then it's been a downhill trajectory since then.
It has been a precipitous downhill go here. And, you know, looking at last year's rookie year, I said it a lot in the offseason. I wonder what his rookie year looks like if he doesn't get hurt against Miami. Poyer hits his wrist, and he's part of that group. There's like five guys that have wrist injuries. He was starting to come along. Maybe that's kind of the moment where, you know, because the team mentioned at the end of the season, he didn't really handle the injury very well. Coleman was open about it in a number of podcasts I watched in this offseason that he was not really, he'd never really dealt with being hurt before, and he didn't really handle the recovery perfectly. Maybe that's the moment. It's not always fair. It is what it is. This is a professional game. They get paid millions of dollars. It sucks, but I think this might be where we're at. Again, nothing official yet. It is just a report, but it is looking like Coleman is going to be inactive for a second straight game. It may not all be due to, you know, performance-based. This is a short week in a bad situation. It might be one of those, like, yeah, we're just not going to throw you back out there. We're going to have 10 days to get ready for Pittsburgh. You'll be back in. We'll see. And we'll see even if tonight he's not in as well. We're going to take a quick timeout. 803-0550, the number to call. Tony, DJ, and anyone else who wants to call and give their thoughts on tonight. Keon Coleman, the game. Love to hear him. Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
We know we have the talent in the room. Yeah. We know we have the skill in the room. We just haven't been doing what we need to do to get the results that we're looking for. So we just have to tweak a couple things, fix a couple things. It's not like we changed the whole playbook or anything. It was the little things, mm-hmm. the real small things that we had to lock in on.
Buffalo Bills wide receiver Tyrell Shavers yesterday with Chris Brown on One Bills Live. What does he have in store for a second act? Is it going to be like Wicked second act where like, ooh, the first one's awesome. Second one, pacing's a little rough.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it, though?
Curious. I'm going to see Wicked on Sunday, so like that's all I keep hearing is the second act is like, it's okay.
I still enjoy it. I've seen it like eight times.
Right?
Once in New York and whatever, but like, yeah, it's a little slower. Shavers, story's unwritten, I guess, right? Like, we don't know what to really expect from him. How big of expectations can you really plant on him after 1 week?
I am having like, that hard time with it of like... He's been a practice squad guy. It's a wonderful story. I hope he has these big moments. But, like, I know this game has been brought up, but 2019. Duke Williams was a great story. He had his moments. But when push came to shove, when they targeted him 10 times in a playoff game.
He wasn't cutting it.
Immediately the team's like, cool, we need to change that. So is Shavers closer to Duke Williams, which is still fine. Like, he's still going to have his moments. Bills fans will probably remember him for a long time. Or is he closer to, hey, he should have been on the field a lot longer, and he should have been a focal point, maybe not a focal point, but a part of this offense.
A contributor. I think that's what he's proving to be, right? Like, he's going to have to do it for more than 1 week, but
He's somebody, I mean, number 14. I'm excited to watch him and see what he's got.
He looks too much like Diggs on the field.
He's just taller.
He's taller. A longer Diggs. Mm-hmm. He got the same pads, whatever. Like, the structure is just a little longer, but it looks a lot like him.
It's also going to be really frustrating if like his only great plays come against Tampa. The catch against Tampa in the preseason and like, you know, last week. I'll be like, oh, man. I mean, like, good for you. Like, way to pick a team and just pick on them. But come on. 803-0550, the number to call. Bills, Texans, tonight for Thursday Night Football. We go back to the phones, and we'll start today, or we'll start this segment off with DJ on the line. DJ, how we doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys today?
Doing well.
Good. So, this thing has been driving me nuts since the trade deadline with
with Bean, the whole passing up Waddle possibly over the first pick of this year or next year, and everything with Coleman happening, obviously the thing with Elam. I know the guys had made some decent picks, but to me, minus, you know, Cook and Josh, I feel like his skill player ability of drafting, it just hasn't really been there. I'm sure we could think of one or two that were decent players, but if we had a chance to get Jalen Waddle in his prime, I just, like, if I don't trust his ability to use that first-round pick this year or next year to get somebody that could ever be as good as Jalen Waddle is right now. It's just, like, such a dereliction of duty of him as the GM, whether he just outsmarts himself or he thinks he's better. You know what I mean? I feel like that was such a miss, if that's what it was. I know the other side of the coin could be the Miami GM coming in didn't want to get rid of Waddle, and the guy that was out was the one that was going to do the deal, whatever. I heard that side of the story, too, but if it is what it was, that he simply just didn't want to get rid of this year's first as compared to next year's first, like, what are we doing here, man? Like, Josh Allen's 29 years old. Having Jalen Waddle, he would have been so pumped to join this Bills team. And then he goes and beats us the next week. He's one of the main contributors that beat us the next week. It just, that was the only thing I can think of, a dereliction of duty. That you're the GM, man. I understand you're going to be here for a long time and you feel, you know, you're okay in your job and I want my pick next year. I almost feel like if Pegula only put him in a little bit of a hot seat, I know it's not going to be. We have a great, you know, franchise. Things are going great. But in my mind, a guy that was scared of losing his job eventually would have made that pick, would have made that trade, and it would have made this team instantly better. And now we're dealing with Coleman not even playing anymore, and we're going to leave that guy who picked him over Ladd McConkey. Like, it's just, what are we doing here? So, I don't know. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that, and I'll hang up and listen, and go Bills and Sabres. I want them to play good, but it's just not happening. So, have a good day, guys.
DJ, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, I am having fun whenever Ladd McConkey's brought up, because it really is becoming that for Bills and Chiefs fans of, we all yelled at each other for a year only for both of us to have been proven wrong. Both franchises were like, no, Ladd was the guy you all should have picked. The dereliction of duty, I'm glad you brought that up. That's how my dad has talked about this whenever we're discussing it, is just like what happened? Like, what is going on? It is going to be, for better or worse, no matter how the season ends, the trade deadline for Bills fans is going to be that fork in the road moment of, reportedly, you had something huge on the table and it didn't happen. Seemingly, again, based off the reports, because you were not able to pivot, not willing to pivot. And you're right, DJ, to bring up that it only gets worse because then Waddle beats you the next week or plays a big factor in that. HN is probably, you know, the main guy. Waddle is, you know, the Robin of that, but still has a great touchdown catch. And he kind of bullies Maxwell Harrison for a little bit of that game. And then the Keon Coleman stuff. I don't have any inside knowledge of this, but I have thought about this now with Coleman being benched and with everything going on around there. I wonder if the Bills were willing to move him at the deadline. I wonder if they were shopping him. Maybe not aggressively, but I wonder if they were shopping him, knowing that it's not working. Because we're at a point now. The Bills are in a Super Bowl window. They don't have the same timelines as people. They just don't. They don't have 3-4 years to wait to see if a player emerges. They've got about two. And so far, through 1.5, it has not been good for them. That's why they're going for a guy like Waddle, ultimately. It's why for weeks most of us were talking about guys like Rashid Shaheed or what have you. You know, much more of just he's going to fit a very specific role and under no circumstances is he going to be considered a number one, but he's going to help expand this offense, right? Until the reports came out that they were big game hunting. Then all of a sudden it changed everything, how we were talking about the receiver position. Now it all of a sudden became, oh, wait, okay, they're going for a one. Here we go. Let's go. And you're right. Yeah, I that report has frustrated me since it came out. Because I don't think it does good PR for the Bills. And they probably are the ones that wanted it out there. I don't think it does good PR for them. I don't think fans are sitting here going, well, at least they tried. I don't. I certainly am not. And I think many people agree with me on that. It's not just good enough to try. You are in a window now. You mentioned Allen is 29, going on 30. And I don't know how long his prime will be. I don't believe he will be a quarterback that is at 38, 39, 40, still playing at a high level. I think he'll be playing at a high level till he's about 35, 36. And then we'll have a very aggressive decline. Because that's the player he is. And that's fine. I'd much rather have him be a shooting star and be good for a window rather than, he's pretty good, but he played till he was 40. And I don't get the highlight reel moments, the insanity that he'll bring. I'm having more fun with this style. And that's why I think many of us have been frustrated when they've gone away from the style that we saw on Sunday or we saw in the first few years. But the Waddle thing really, really has frustrated me to no end. In part because I think that would be the guy that you could have then as your number one for the years going forward. I think Waddle's a fringe number one with Miami. I do think with Josh Allen, though, he could have gone up another level. A quarterback that is able to go off script more with him and can run the offense, I think, much more efficiently than Tua Tagovailoa can. Because Tua, I mean, the big thing with him is he gets off his first read. It's a bit of a nightmare. Allen is not really the case there. And, of course, he would also add a level of speed that I think the Bills are still desperate for. And you need to bring up the skill position players. You know, I want to throw Dalton Kincaid in there now. He is dealing with a lot of injuries. He can't really stay on the field. Even when he's healthy, they don't use him, you know, more than 55% of the time, which is very frustrating. But it really is Coleman, or it is Allen and Cook. You know, Ray Davis, we're still kind of waiting to see his sophomore year. I mean, he was great in the return game on Sunday. But for the most part, the sophomore year has been a total dud. And this is a guy, not that long ago, we were all sitting there going, no, if James Cook wants to sit out, cool, we've got Ray Davis. And I don't think that was a ridiculous thing to say based off the small sample size we got in his rookie year, especially the game against the Jets, where he does have to fill in for James Cook, who was hurt. Thanks for the call, DJ. We're going to go back to the phones, and Tony is up next. Tony, how we doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Doing well.
So I want to talk a little bit about the Coleman, if you don't mind, situation, and I have just a couple comments on the Bills moving forward. So I will tell you this, in my personal opinion. And let's look at this like big picture, because sometimes as Bills fans, we kind of are caught up in the moment a bit. But if you take the time to kind of zoom out, look at this big picture wise. All right, so I would make the argument that Coleman is closer to Duke Williams than Shavers is. Honestly, it's just their entry point is different. I'm talking about the play in the field.
Yeah.
Inconsistency is the term I would use, right? Just overall inconsistent. I think that what we got to look at big picture, and where I'm shocked at with our organization, which I think he's not going to be on the team as we approach the the spring and we get into the offseason. Let's talk about this. Oh, see, let's just talk about right now, like what we're dealing with right now. Now, Shavers, to me, has shown an innate ability and kind of the DNA that the Bills praise in terms of, you know, the adversity and the way that he handles himself, right, with his day-to-day grind, right, and his work ethic and what they expect out of, you know, a Bills player. An organization, right? The way he interviews, the way he talks, completely like 10 steps ahead of where Coleman is right now. Now, granted, he's been in longer, but just the way he handles himself. Secondly, when big plays have needed to be made and he's been called upon with the fewest amount of reps, right, out of that receiver room, he has stepped up and made those plays, right? And so, and he's not someone who's getting called out on missing meetings and jogging, you know, and he blocks his tail off, right? So, like, I think it's an upgrade. And I know we're all like hoping that, but if you just look at the data and look what he's given you, you'll see that get past the fact that one's a second round pick. And the other is, you know, undrafted free agent. Look past that and just look at the body of work. We should be happy that Shavers is in the lineup right now. It's absolutely an upgrade. Secondly, think about this. We got rid of an all pro wide receiver that has proven himself, right, in Diggs, and took a pay cut over nonsense. This dude is showing you nonsense on a regular basis. I'm not saying he's, you know, having issues with Allen or anything like that, but I'm saying, like, you're not even taking the job serious enough to even get to that point, and you're gonna stay on the team and be active. Like, you're missing meetings. I mean, what are we talking about right now? I mean, that is such an I think more so than Coleman, that's such an embarrassment for what this organization has been known for since Bean and McDermott took over. That's the thing. I mean, he's got to sit up there and answer to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's such a classy guy. McDermott, he's going to say, you know, I still believe in him. I mean, he's just said a lot of people he still believes in. They ended up cutting him like 2 weeks later or the following season. He's going to say what he needs to say because that's the kind of man he is. But I do believe, you know, you still think you can make a player better. But, like, to me, this is a privilege to do what you're doing. There's just too many people out there. Wide receiver is not a hard position to find in the draft or in free agency. Like, move on. I say right at this point now, just let's just see what Shavers is. Like, given that, like, he's earned that. This guy hasn't earned anything. And if anything, he's been kind of in a privileged situation and has regressed as opposed to progressed.
Tony, I think that's the right way to put it. And thanks for the call. Is that he has regressed? You know, we had a caller in the first segment bring up Quentin Johnston. I think that's a fair one to bring up because he was a nightmare in his rookie year, but he progressed in his second and then third year now. And it again, he may not be worth the first round pick the Chargers used on him, but he's certainly not been a disaster as a receiver. And I maybe don't want to use that word either for Coleman, but we are at a point now, I think, with him. That, yeah, you can mention that, you know, guys like Shavers have surpassed him. That maybe he is closer to someone like a Duke Williams than he is to what he was drafted to be, ultimately a second-round pick. But to be, in many ways, the heir apparent to Stephon Diggs. And they got rid of a guy in Diggs who was still producing for seemingly far less. I mean, they ate a lot of money, mainly because he was, what, a distraction, what have you. You do know one thing about Stephon Diggs. He is a workaholic. He is a crazy person with his craft. And the perception around Coleman, because of the being late to multiple meetings this year, and even going back to last year as well, is that he is not taking it seriously, is that he is not taking the privilege of ultimately playing a game and making millions of dollars seriously. Now, it should be noted, McDermott, did note that actually he had one of his best weeks of practice leading up to last week. He was just late to that meeting on Friday. But the perception is going to be, but he got benched because he was late, and he's not taking this seriously. I think we are at if he is inactive tonight, and again, it is still just a report from Cover One. If you're asking me, this is it. This is his last year here. It's not his last snap with the Bills. But I think they are going to be moving on from him in the offseason. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on tonight. Keon Coleman as well. We've been talking a lot about him leading up to tonight. We'll talk to Sal Capaccio in just about 15 minutes as well to get more of a preview for tonight. And also, again, the ideas on Coleman. Two wide receivers are already ruled out for tonight. No, they did not play the same roles as Keon. But, you know, earlier in this week, I thought, just numbers-based, he'd have to be on the field. Maybe that is not the case. Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, and this is WGR. Ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner's going to be...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
announced during Football Friday with Shopin' the Bulldog, fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones hanging with you here on a Bills game day. The Bills are at the Houston Texans for Thursday night football. I did tweet out, just, you know, vibe check, how's everyone feeling? And John gave me, I think, my favorite response ever. Nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs is phenomenal. I would have never thought of something like that. That's great. I'm sensing that from a lot of Bills fans, though, of the nervousness for this game. Understandable. They have not won in this building since 06. They have played down to their competition quite a bit this year, losing to teams like Atlanta and Miami. And it would feel very Billsy on a short week to lose to a backup quarterback. I think, though, if they win this, I agree with Jeremy White. He said this yesterday. If they win today, I think there's a real chance they could go on a run here. Philadelphia does not freak me out nearly as much as they did coming into this season. I think they're very much talented but flawed. New England, let's go. I'm just kind of excited for that next matchup. And then it's a lot of, Cleveland in there. The Jets again. Pittsburgh. I really like where the Bills are sitting at, but they've got to get the job done tonight. 8:15 kickoff. Amazon Prime if you're outside of the Buffalo TV market. Channel 7 if you're within. You have the number to call, 803-0550. Before our next time out, though, let's go back to the phones. Bill is up next. Bill, how are we doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Doing well.
Yeah, I'm calling regarding a couple different issues. I got two different statements. One's regarding McConkey and Coleman. And while I love McConkey as a wide receiver, he might be suffering a similar fate because he's another slot guy, just like Coleman should have been a slot guy that we're forcing into the outside. If Coleman was in the slot, he might be a lot more successful. We might not be having a problem as we're having besides the meeting issues, of course. So, in my opinion, that wasn't a right fit either. We needed a wideout guy, a guy that can run wide routes, such as maybe even Gabe Davis. So, it was a wrong draft choice. I think that was more of a problem than anything. And that's just the way I feel about it. But the Waddle thing, I don't see why. Maybe they probably wouldn't have wanted him, but why didn't we offer him Keon Coleman and the first round draft choice from the next year if he didn't want to give up this year's? Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, we should have gave up this year's draft choice because we're trying to win a Super Bowl, and who the heck cares about next year's draft choice right. If we could secure a Super Bowl by doing a really smart move like getting Waddle? He would have been a missing link, and I think it would have been a big, big difference in this team. So, unfortunately, we're at where we're at. But the team's still good, so who knows? With Allen, we could do anything. Can you keep me on so I can hear your response, please?
Absolutely, Bill. Thanks for the call, man. On McConkey, that was the perception of him coming out of Georgia. He has somewhat proven that wrong in L.A. I'm not saying he doesn't play in the slot at all or plays exclusively on the outside. He has been more of a do-it-all guy for them. It was more his size. I think a lot of people were very worried that he would not be able to transition to the outside. Not saying like that's his full role, but he has been much more of a kind of a do-it-all for them. And so that's where both Kansas City and Buffalo, I think, missed on him. He does play, though, a good bit of his percentage in the slot. On Coleman, I'm telling you, I have no inside information on this. I think there's a good chance the Bills maybe were trying to shop him. Not aggressively, but maybe try to see where the market is. I also, though, I don't really know how valuable of a commodity he maybe would be. You know, we're talking about the perception of him if he's, you know, missing meetings. All of a sudden, it's not that he cares, but, you know, Sean McDermott later does say, you know, he maybe had his best week of practice. You know, the perception, the Bills are trying to move their second-year receiver. Why? You know, I think that leads to a lot of GMs asking the question, why? We're all doing it with Brian Thomas Jr. when his name was floated around a little bit there in trade rumors. The bonus he had was it's not the regime that drafted him. So it might be a total regime change of no, we're going to remake this in our image. You know, Lawrence is going to be the one guy that stays here kind of deal. And ultimately, they don't move Brian Thomas Jr. But for Coleman, it would be you guys literally just drafted him. And you need a receiver. What's he going to do for us? Now, I do agree. I think he would be much better in the slot. I think that was where he was supposed to be. But I also don't really know how much better. I think there is just maybe a chance that he could be a miss just as a whole. We'll wait and see. And again, we'll see even if he's not active tonight. The report is out of cover one that he is going to be inactive for a second straight game. That also may not be entirely based off of his play. It could just be a short week, and that's how the chips fall. It just looks bad for him. 803-0550, the number to call. Bill, thanks for the call. When we come back, we'll get a look in at Houston. And Sal Capaccio is down in Texas. We'll get a word in from him when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.